Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading once again with verse 7, where we began yesterday, and we'll keep right on going and pick it up for where we're going to begin today. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, we left off yesterday. I just touched on verse 10, but let's back up a little bit. You will remember that I've emphasized the fact that John is very plain spoken. And I don't mean that he's crude in his speech or untaught or ill-mannered in the way he writes things, but there can be no ambiguity about what he means, all right? You're either one way or the other. You're either in the light or you're in darkness. One or the other. You can't be, well, in a twilight zone, all right? You're in or you're out. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, or detests his Christian brother, is in darkness. He is residing in ignorance of divine things, and he's fooling around with wickedness, all right? That is, if he detests his brother. In verse 10, he that loveth his brother, and as I was talking about that at the conclusion of yesterday's broadcast, agape, this Greek word that is translated love, in this case the form in the English, loveth, in the Greek the would be the continuing or the present progressive tense. This idea of this particular kind of love is above any other kind of human experience possible. It is superior to the kind of love that a sibling can have, you know, a man can have for a sibling, a man can have for his brother or his sister. It is superior to the kind of love that he can have for his parents or parents can have for children. You'll find these being forms of the verb phileo, to love. If you go on and you look, for instance, at the quote-unquote love between a man and a woman, there's a Greek verb, eros. You get the word erotic. It has to do with sensual love. Now, in this particular case, and I think there are a total of five different Greek verbs that are all translated as the word love, but this one, this agape, has as its source not human experience, but the heart of God. Only God can implant. Only God can give this kind of love. When he does, he enables believers to experience this kind of love, to show this kind of love, and to receive this kind of love. It does not have a human analog. It doesn't have a human counterpart. He that loveth, and as I said, this word here is a form of agape. Now, as I've pointed out, and will continue to point out, and you'll probably get sick of hearing it, anytime you see a verb form in the English that ends with the E-T-H on the end of it, it's indicative, it points to the fact that in the Greek language, there is this idea of, it's in the present tense, but it's continuing, it's progressing. So that you could read it like this, he that habitually and continually loves his brother. You see, it's something that's, it's not stagnant, it's not static, it's not standing still, it's linear, it's going somewhere. He that loveth his brother, his Christian brother, abideth in the light. The word abide, to stay in the presence of. Somebody who loves his brother with this kind of love is abiding or is staying or continuing in the presence of the light, abideth in the light. Now this word light we're talking about here can be translated as truth with spiritual purity. Truth with spiritual purity. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now this none occasion, there's nothing here to set it up. Notice the word stumbling. I found this kind of interesting. If you have a marginal note in your Bible, it will refer you to, I know in mine it just says GR period, which stands for Greek, and then in italics, the word scandal. There is none occasion for scandal. Okay. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of scandal in him. But that's not really all that you could say about it. The word stumbling here, the Greek word is the same thing as a trigger of a trap. The thing that makes the jaws snap shut, the thing that makes the trap close and catch the thing that's gone into it, this is stumbling. There is none occasion of stumbling. There is in this individual who loves his brother with this God-originated love, does so in such a way there is no hint of scandal, there is no possibility of anything improper here. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Okay, now let's go back. You saw in verse 9, he that saith he is in the light. Notice that saying and being are two different things. Saying and doing are two different things. He that saith he is in the light. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily so, does it? As a matter of fact, John goes ahead and clears up any foggy thinking on it. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth, notice please the contrast and the comparison. One hates his brother, he's in spiritual darkness. He that loves his brother abides, that is, continues in the presence of the light, spiritual truth and spiritual purity. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Do you ever notice there's some people you have to be careful around? You got to be careful the way, it's almost like walking on eggs. You know what I mean? If you say something, immediately they're looking for an ulterior motive. If you did something, they're wanting to figure out why you did it. Would you intend to gain by it? If you say something, they're always looking for the barb in the statement. They're not comfortable to be around because you really simply have to be so careful. Now, there's a reason for that. That kind of attitude does not come about as a result of acquaintance with this agape love. Now, I'm saying that knowing full well that there are people, probably in your acquaintance, who claim to be Christians who, oh, they're quote-unquote good Christians, that you really have to treat with kid gloves. I mean, you just can't handle them like everyday, workaday people. You have to treat them like they're something special. Otherwise, they get offended. They're, well, I believe the expression sometimes is used, they're thin-skinned. He that hateth his brother is in the darkness. Now, back up. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That is, the one who loves his brother with his agape love. There's nothing he's going to do that is improper. There's nothing he's going to say that is intended to be taken double entendre. It's got one meaning, and that's it. He says it, and there it is. But, verse 11, he that hates his brother, he that detests, now notice the ETH, he that is habitually detesting his brother, he that is continually detesting, making light of, deriding, putting down his brother is in darkness. And once again, here it is, this ignorance of divine things. He's acting as though he doesn't know straight up about what God expects. Now, let me show you this. You'll remember that when we're talking about fellowship with God, you saw it back earlier in chapter 2, in verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You see in verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Notice this idea of obedience to the word, abiding in the light, having fellowship with God. These things are all interconnected. But now, when you come to the here, in verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. He is ignorant of divine things. Why? He's in the darkness. Now, the darkness, by its very nature, implies he doesn't know. He can't see. He doesn't know what God wants. Now, the answer to that is the Word of God. Very simple. If you're going to have fellowship with God, dear Christian, please get into the Word of God. Spend time meditating on the Word of God, feeding your soul on it. Don't approach the Bible as though it's a chore, a responsibility. Let it become, and it may take some discipline on your part, let it become something you anticipate, something you look forward to, spending time getting to know the mind of your Heavenly Father. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. Notice the ETH endings on these verb forms. He that hateth, he that is habitually detesting his brother, is in darkness and is continually walking in darkness. The word walk, as we've pointed out in previous studies, means to regulate your life by some particular standard, by some creed. In this particular case, we are talking here about darkness. We're talking about regulating or ordering the lifestyle based on ignorance of divine things, based on association with wickedness. Now, Christian, I think if you read that with understanding, you've got to understand that you must admit that there is no legitimate excuse for this business of hating, of detesting, of, I just don't like them. Okay, I don't like that person. How come? Jesus died for them, did he not? You see, let me skip over here just a little bit, over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There is a moral obligation for Christians to love Christians. There is a matter of reciprocity, of reciprocal. God loves us, we love him. He loved our brethren, then we ought to love them too. We don't have much choice in that matter. Now let's come back, please, to chapter 2, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not. He is habitually ignorant of where he's going, whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Blinded? Yeah, means to blunt mental discernment. He's not physically blind, but he has no spiritual discernment. He can't really see where he's going. Why? Because he is walking in ignorance of the will of God. He's walking in ignorance of what God wants him to do or to be. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. The word forgiven, sent away. Because your sins have been sent away. I just happened to glance at the clock. It's a good thing I did. I'm out of time. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says. Have your Bible, and let's do some thinking about what The Bible Says.